Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
There is a report from Ringside News that Cam Scadaboo will be appearing at Madison Square Garden tonight for the final Raw of John Cena's professional wrestling career.
Why does this bother you?
Oh, I love it. It does not bother me. I think it's badass. I just know that Sean in the past and Tommy, to varying degrees, have had issues with players going to the Garden, being courtside.
Why do you have issues with this, Sean?
I don't remember. Go ahead, pull up the order. When did I have an issue with people doing this?
Oh, Carlos Mendoza being at a Knicks game courtside, you had an issue with?
2 days after elimination? Sure. I'm not going to call Cam Scadaboo right now.
After Scadaboo was at Madison Square Garden and then got hurt, I did ask both of you, would you want to see him at the Garden again? And you both said you would prefer not. So
I said that?
Yes, you did.
I never said that.
Okay.
I didn't say that either.
You want to make accusations, provide the audio.
I think you're making stuff up, Evan.
I've got to go find the audio I just heard the Cam news in the last 10 minutes.
So provide the audio and then I'll accept it.
Yeah, I said that the Knicks should make Scat their mascot for the rest of the
season. Is that what you said?
So I want him there for all Knicks games.
I do remember that, actually.
Thank you, Tiki.
Because it was a win.
Yeah,
they won.
I had an issue with Aaron Judge being at a Knicks game when the World Series was still going on.
So
that was my issue.
Either way, you have had issues in the past with guys being at the Garden. So I ask you, because your opinion. You can have any opinion you want. With the Giants season still going on and Cam now being out for the year with injury, do we have any issue with him appearing at a Monday Night Raw tonight at Madison Square Garden?
Absolutely not.
What if he gets in the ring?
If he gets in the ring, then go have fun.
Here's what I care about. Is he going to rehab the day, like the morning of?
Right.
Is he?
I'd hope so.
Yeah, okay. Then I have no problem with what he does after that.
He was at UFC into the wee hours Saturday night. And then was there right away, rolling on into MetLife on Sunday.
So no issue with him being at Raw tonight?
No.
Okay. I'm just asking. I think it's badass.
Why are you trying to create a controversy around our guy?
I'm not. I'm asking them they've had issues with other guys. Evan, I just want clarity.
There's no room for doubt and the love for Cam Scadaboo. There is no room.
Nah.
Anchor or whatever, trying to wedge in something here.
Boy, I'll tell you, me asking questions you take as me trying to cause anger. I love the fact that
you're trying to cause anger.
I'm asking him a question since he was pissed at Mendoza for being there.
Here's what you could have done instead.
Go ahead.
Man, isn't it awesome that Cam Scadaboo is going to be at Raw tonight? How awesome is that, guys?
Actually, you know how I frame it? I got a new way to ask it. Not for Tommy, because I already know the answer.
And then if they don't like it, they just say, what?
No,
we don't want him to be there. Instead, you ask it like, aren't you mad that Cam Scadaboo is at Raw?
Because they've been mad at other instances.
You made it a negative question by the way you posed it.
Sean had an issue with Zach Wilson going apple picking with his girlfriend during the bye week. Well, is it really that crazy for me to ask the question?
Zach Wilson wasn't good enough to go apple picking with his girlfriend.
Exactly.
The bye week.
Cam Scadaboo was already better than Zach Wilson was. It was two time zones away, completely different. Evan also,
yes.
Going through, and I've had some people tip me off. Again, you need to apologize, never was mad at Carlos Mendoza for going to the Knicks game. I laughed at you.
Oh, that's true. You did laugh at him.
That was a mock.
Yes. That's not anger. That's just laughing.
The real question is, with a crappy Monday Night Football game tonight, with your favorite basketball team and hockey team not playing, do you find yourself more likely to turn on Netflix and watch Raw tonight knowing Cam Scottaboo's in the building.
You know what? Yes.
Wow. Yes. How about that?
Because
wow.
I have no desire to watch, and I will, the Monday Night Football game, but I have zero desire to actually watch it.
What if after all of this, despite having a bum ankle, John Cena's final opponent on Raw is Cam Scottaboo? Would you have an issue with that?
No, I mean, because I trust the WWE to keep him safe.
Dude, that would actually crack me
do
up.
Do you?
I'm trying to say the right things here.
Bro, I would if John comes out middle of the ring and says, all right, who should my last opponent on Raw be? And like the Giants on WFAN theme song goes off, and Cam Scottaboo comes limping out to the ring, and John puts the attitude adjustment on him, and that's it. It's like a squash match. That'd be amazing.
Only if Tino walks out with a briefcase next to him.
That's funny. Now, let's get to the more serious issue. And that's Abdul Carter. Yesterday, we saw he didn't play in the opening drive. Mike Kafka, after the game, played the whole, I'm not going to tell you, it's between us.
Yep.
Players did the same thing. Abdul Carter also said, whatever, not going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then earlier today, Dan Duggan of The Athletic came out with the specifics on what actually happened. And according to Dan Duggan, he was benched for the opening drive because he missed a walkthrough. Carter was asleep in the team facility during the walkthrough. But to me, the other piece of information that he put out there, which was much more concerning than him being asleep at a random walkthrough,
yeah,
was being late to meetings has been a trend during Carter's rookie season that former coach Brian Daboll let slide, a source said.
Aren't you guys curious why I always say I hate rookies? It's not just
reason?
Because of their play.
Right?
It's just learning how to be a professional. You just don't know how to be a professional. And it's not a knock on Abdul Carter, because all of us had issues like this at some point. It's just some of us weren't expected to be the man in your rookie season. And you just, it never gets exposed. You never talk about it. But when you're supposed to be the guy, you're a top 10 pick, you're going to be scrutinized. And there is a very tight microscope on you all the time, because they're hoping you evolve into the leader. Not just because of your play, but because of your example. So this is why this becomes a big deal. And so it's not a knock. It's not, you're not knocking or singling out Abdul Carter. And I know he took to social media and tried to talk it down. Why guys
he
do this?
He denied the aspect that he fell asleep.
What it doesn't even matter.
That's what he took issue
with. It doesn't
with.
Even matter. Because it doesn't matter.
You're right. Of course it doesn't matter.
What happened doesn't matter.
Right.
As long, was it something criminal? Is he in legal trouble? The answer is no. It doesn't matter.
You missed a meeting, or you were late for a meeting.
It's handled in-house. Go play football. It doesn't matter. You're not going to win the court of public opinion. You're not going to get people to say, oh, yeah, I agree with Abdul Carter. And if you do, there's going to be just as many people saying you're an idiot. So it's not worth responding to it. Just say, my bad, go play football.
The other aspect of this, and I know you're annoyed by leaks coming from players, the leak that basically threw Brian Daboll under the bus is interesting, too. Mm. Because to throw in this has been a problem all year and Dabes did nothing was just a final punch in the face to the fired head coach.
Yeah, but I get it. I mean, I'm sure he got fined. So, like, what do you want him to do?
No, I don't know what's the proper answer to it. I mean, I'll ask you this. Did Kafka actually not even go far enough? Should it have been a harsher penalty than missing the opening drive? I mean, the guy was still out there playing.
Problem is, if he's not playing, who the hell is rushing
well,
the pass?
Well, that's always the issue when coaches or managers have to make that decision.
Right.
You're cutting your nose off to spite your face.
Yes.
Like, you're being tough, and you're pulling some guy out of the game, but in essence, you're hurting your own team and your own cause.
Yeah.
Because he's one of your better players.
Right.
That's why I don't know the answer to this. I ask you. I don't know what the best answer to this is.
I will just bring up two examples of Giants that ended up being completely fine after this. This has happened before. It happened to Andrew Thomas as a rookie. I think we can all agree he's been fine with it.
Yep, rookies don't know how to be pros.
Yeah, and he had the same kind of thing. Bench for the beginning of a game. I don't know if it was a drive or a quarter. And this also happened to Ahmad Bradshaw as well, and that was under Tom Coughlin. So whether it's Coughlin, Judge, obviously two different types of head coaches, and now under Kafka, Daboll, the point I'm bringing up is this isn't new in Giants.
He's a rookie.
Yeah.
Rookies are dumb.
He's a rookie.
This also made me think of a story that's legendary in New York Giant lore. Obviously, Abdul Carter asked for Lawrence Taylor's number. Not making a big deal of it. It's ancient history. But it got me thinking about Lawrence Taylor and the famous story that Bill Belichick has told about Lawrence Taylor. And I'll let you take a listen. Bill was reliving a story on how LT was late to a meeting. And so he was telling Parcells, Coach Parcells, hey, Coach Parcells, just want to let you know Lawrence was about 5 minutes late to the meeting.
No, no, no. He said we started the meeting before Lawrence got there.
Right.
And so,
because Lawrence was late to the meeting.
Lawrence was 5 minutes late.
And here is Bill telling us what Parcells then told him.
I take the defense and...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You know, we get about, like, you know, LT's not there. We get about 5-6 minutes into the meeting. He walks in. So, of course, the whole team sees he's, you know, a few minutes late. So we finished the meeting. And afterwards, I go over to Coach Parcells and said, well, I just want to let you know LT was, you know, a few minutes late for the meeting. Looks at me like, yeah? So, well, just thought you, you know, want to know. Well, why'd you start the meeting before he got there?
Hey, that's my boy.
I can do it.
That's how you know, unfortunately, Abdul Carter is not quite Lawrence Taylor.
You know why Abdul Carter is not Lawrence Taylor?
Why is that?
Lawrence Taylor had 9.5 sacks, a fumble, caused fumble, 4 forced fumbles, a fumble return for 9.5 sacks. He was the AP.
Real quick, I do want to remind everyone you are listening to WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN FM HD1 New York and Odyssey Sports Station.
He was AP first team All Pro. He was the AP Defensive Rookie of the Year. He was the AP Defensive Player of the Year as a rookie. Do you notice a difference?
Slightly. Yes. And also, not that I want to bring it up again, but I already did. Lawrence Taylor didn't ask for any retired numbers upon being drafted, which Abdul Carter did. Does that bother you guys now or not really? It's still like not a big deal?
I still wouldn't have cared if he got LT's numbers. You're asking the wrong guy.
No, I know. I'm just curious.
Yeah. All right. They're like, thank God.
Yeah.
If the number was given to him, though, like if LT had said yes and the Giants had done it again, giving out a retired number, don't you think the discussion today about Abdul Carter would be a little different?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
That's why I didn't love it. Now, luckily, it didn't happen, so it's a footnote in his history, and it really isn't a big deal. But I think if, God forbid, he was wearing LT's number right now,
yep.
Yeah,
Go have a double-digit sack season next year.
LT,
and people will forget about all of this.
LT would demand the number be taken off his back. Right. Would probably be the case right now. Let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019, the number. Avi's calling from L.A. What's up, Avi?
Hey, fellas. Hey. So I've got a contrast comment. You take Tiki Barber, correct? And Tiki, when you had the fumble issues,
yep.
All right, your pride, according to me, was such that I would bet the ranch that you practically slept with a football.
No, I did.
And you conquered that problem, correct?
I did. No, I literally did.
Okay.
You're joking, but I literally did.
No, I imagine you did, because that's the type of get down that you have. That's the type of pride that you have. Now contrast that with Banks, okay? It's an indictment on Shane, on Dable and Kafka. I would, the way he quits on plays and gets trucked, etc., I would prefer starting the backup nose tackle at cornerback to playing him, okay? There has to be some guy who maybe made some mistakes in life, okay, and is playing semi-pro or in the Canadian League.
Wow, you're going all in. And,
you know, 100%. I mean, this is horrible just seeing this guy quit. It was a problem last year as well. So it's unbelievable. Also, quick question for Tiki. Tiki, is the Bowen defense, chiefly the pass rush, is it the most unimaginative, bland version of play calling that you've seen?
Well,
it is for me.
Obviously, it's gotten predictable. And earlier in the season, when you hadn't seen Abdul Carter as a stand-up linebacker, and then he's being utilized in ways that created like one-on-one matchups and let Brian Burns be able to win. He would win sometimes, even though he didn't show up a lot on the stat sheet. It was innovative. It was like, oh, this is cool. I like what they're doing here, because you have your pass rusher playing linebacker. You're really rushing five, but you're presenting like you're playing a base defense, and it was nice. It was good to see, but it never varied from that. And last night, yesterday afternoon, you kept seeing the same things over and over and over and over and over. It becomes easy to pick up. You leave a running back in, so you chip Brian Burns, and then you know that the middle linebacker, who is not Abdul Carter in this case because he's actually playing the edge with Kayvon Thibodeau out, it's Bobby Okereke, and you know he's not pass rushing, so you know that you're just going to occupy the center. He's going to back out, then the center's going to double team, and you're going to have one or two one-on-one. It's like, it's easy to block. And so it's not innovative now. It could have been, but it's not. I don't see zone pressures. I don't see overflowing on one side and dropping out in zones. I don't see any of that. And it gets frustrating because teams have figured it out.
I'm going to give Sean the opportunity to say yes or no. It's your call. Show decision. I have the audio of me asking you guys if Cam Scataboo should show up at Madison Square Garden again now that he's hurt. Mm. Do you want to hear the audio, or are you willing to say, you know what? Don't need to hear it. It's your call.
Evan,
your decision.
Either way, I have a way of wiggling out of whatever you play. So fine. Play the audio.
All right. I was going to say, it does exonerate them, by the way.
Of course it does. But I'm a fair guy. I have the audio. So take a listen. This is from October 27th, Evan and Tiki.
I got a serious question. Just so we can get the policing out of the way. Is he allowed to show up at Madison Square Garden next week for a Knicks home game?
Yes.
He's good to go?
In fact,
as long as he's on crutches.
Since he's got a lot of free time, I'm nominating Scataboo to be the Knicks mascot this season. Like, it keeps his name out there. He's perfect for it. I assume he's going to be on crutches for a while, though, but he could still do the double bicep pose. His presence is needed at Madison Square Garden.
So you will not be bothered if on Monday night against the Wizards next week, he's there. You should be rehabbing. What are you doing
Absolutely
here?
Absolutely not. I think he should be there, basically their mascot. I love it.
You okay with it, Sean?
I'm totally fine with it. He should disappear just because he got hurt.
I'm just asking.
Same. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm very fair when it comes to
you. You try to create a controversy where there never was one.
Of course.
Evan.
Also, further controversy, Tiki. He's trying to get us to rat on Scataboo. I have been informed every Giants rookie is going to Raw tonight.
Can Abdul Carter really be there?
On time, sure.
But do you guys have a problem with that?
What I will say is this. People had an issue with Malik Nabers going to a Travis Scott concert when he was in concussion protocol.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Dart is in concussion protocol, and he's going to a place where they shoot off pyro he's at Monday Night Raw. I'm just saying, it's got to be both ways.
And what did Malik Nabers do before he got a surgery? He was dancing at somebody's party or
something?
Well,
he's at the club or something. Like
Ciara's birthday party.
Ciara's birthday party.
And to
Tommy's
point, I can't believe you brought this up. I thought of this yesterday because I remember that big controversy.
That was a big Nabers controversy. You're right about that.
People were upset about it. And it dawned on me yesterday, what the hell's the difference? They shoot off pyrotechnics and play loud music at MetLife Stadium, and Jackson Dart is standing on the sideline yesterday.
No, but they don't.
When they come out, the fire shoots off.
Oh, yeah, but they don't do it for touchdowns. In fact, I was in one of the commissioner's suites doing a visit yesterday.
Look at you.
And this young lady, this girl, after they scored the Giants scored the opening touchdown, she said, "Where are the fireworks?"
She's disappointed.
She's like, "Don't they have fireworks after they score a touchdown?" I said, "When I see John Mara, I will ask him about it."
Wow. I don't remember where Malik saw the concert, but I will say this. Okay. I'll say this about Jackson Dart. Madison Square Garden, Raw, the pyro, the sound effects, not a good idea.
The music's going to be blasting.
He's going to be out of concussion protocol.
Yeah, but he's still in it as of right now. Yeah.
He was dancing. The show's in 5 hours.
He was dancing on the field in a red jersey on Friday. He's basically out of concussion protocol.
Yeah, you didn't see him on the field?
I'm just saying, if he's still in concussion protocol, which according to Mike Kafka, he's in, it's not best to be in a loud arena.
He's in concussion
like
protocol
that.
Because you haven't been asked about him until Wednesday.
So he's really not in concussion protocol.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably not.
Okay. No, look, if he's not in concussion protocol, I guess it's fair game. But I do remember the Nabers controversy. This, to me, is a louder environment. It's Monday Night Raw. It's an enclosed arena with fireworks every 10 seconds.
Okay, but just there's sensory issues. Culture City has sensory bags that you can go get. So I'm sure he'll find a way to not be disturbed.
I want one of these guys to get in the ring because they're probably just going to be first row and they're going to put him on camera for 30
stop.
Seconds.
Do not do a Jalen Brunson and go in there and jack up your...
The Jalen Brunson, Tyrese Halliburton bit was awesome.
I know, but Jalen Brunson had a jacked up hand and he's jumping in the ring and he's like, oh, I think I hurt my hand.
No, he did.
That's no good.
That was great.
Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Matt in Hillsborough, New Jersey. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Matt.
Hi. Hey, guys. So I got two questions. One for all of you. Have you seen the Cam Scadbo video he was showing? He has some like gross appendage on his shoulder. It looks like an AC joint or something he can scratch his face with.
What?
He pulled his shirt off. And Tiki, do you have any gross appendages you can scratch your face with from football injury?
No, definitely do not. But that's what happens when you get that AC joint sprain and don't get it fixed. And it swells all the time. It basically becomes like bone. Like the swelling solidifies and it becomes like a bone. Do you see it?
I can't even describe
it. Is it
this.
Disturbing?
Yes. He's got a very screwed up shoulder. He's a tough guy. I mean, I give him a lot of credit.
But it's nothing it looks worse than it probably
is. Oh, no, absolutely. And I guess he could play with it and all that. I'm just saying
clearly he can play with it because he plays with it.
Exactly. So it's not that big of a deal. It's just something I'd prefer not to look at. That's all I'm saying. Bruce is in Howell. What's up, Bruce?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yo. All good.
Yeah, TK, I just wanted to thank you for allowing me to give you a handoff in American Dream over there.
Oh, nice. Appreciate you being there, bro.
Remember that, yeah. So with the Giants and the draft, your strength is your pass rush, right? Burns, Thibodeau, Carter, those guys all can't tackle. Yeah. So the Giants need some real linebackers. Like, you look at last night's game, you have Campbell, Anzalone, Kobe Dean, and all those guys on the Eagles. They have legit middle linebackers. I'm talking about traditional middle linebackers. So I would maybe trade with a team that needs a quarterback. A team that needs a quarterback this year. And then I would get a 2027 first rounder. And then in case Dark gets hurt, you could draft a quarterback in 2027. It's a great class.
Huh. Yeah. No, I mean, I hear what you're saying. So you're just basically use your asset, which is a top five pick right now for the New York Giants. Trade it for somebody who can play linebacker. The problem is that team's going to want to keep their middle linebacker.
Yeah.
Right, and it's hard. It's interesting, but it's hard.
I also got in the weeds of the draft order last night on Tankathon. Like right now, the Giants are picking number two, but that's not really something you should view because they've played more games than Cleveland, New Orleans, the Jets, and Vegas.
Yeah.
So they're 2-9. A lot of these teams are 2-8. And tiebreaker is strength of schedule. They would lose that tiebreaker to almost everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So if all of the bad teams around them keep losing, the Giants are likelier to pick six than to pick two.
Right.
I've had it with this tiebreaker. The Giants have a hard schedule every year because they play in the NFC East. They never have a cupcake schedule. And this is always a discussion over the last 5 years, screws them with draft order.
I'm just saying, based on the current strength of schedule, it's close between Cleveland, between New Orleans, between potentially the Jets, we'll see, where that strength of schedule would kind of factor in. But the Giants' strength of schedule is one of the highest of the bad teams. So despite picking number two right now, and I'm assuming everybody just keeps losing, I'm not even giving you wins, you're likely not to pick two is my overall point.
Think about the NFL's thought process here. You could be cheeks as a team, and it doesn't matter because another team played less harder games, so we get doubly punished. We have no hope during the season of playing the hard games, and we don't get the payoff because of the stupid draft.
Should the tiebreaker be the opposite? Like the tougher strength of schedule should be the advantage?
I don't know, man.
What would you want it to be?
I don't know. I mean, tie in some net points or something like that. How about you blow more games in the fourth quarter? Make that a benefit?
You have it locked up then.
But you actually do have a... It's relatively... Tennessee has the hardest.
Right, but they're at the bottom right now, so assuming they don't win another game, they'll just get it based on record.
Right.
But yes, if the Titans win a game, they too are going to drop.
I'm just looking at all strength of schedules. Tennessee has the hardest strength of schedule. Number two is the Houston Texans.
Yep.
Who were 5-5.
Yep.
Giants are right there after that.
Yeah.
Vegas and then the
Which
Giants.
Which unfortunately hurts you when it comes to tie breaks in the draft order.
Right.
Let's go to Kushal in New Brunswick. What's up, Kushal?
Hey, Evan and Tiki, how you guys doing?
All's good.
Good. What's up, man?
Tiki, I'm a big fan of yours. I grew up a Giants fan. I'm 37 years old. I think you're a Giant legend.
Thank you. I appreciate that, man.
All right. A couple of things on Mike Kafka. I think the job is too big for him. He can't handle the in-game play calling and game management. I think they need to bring in a seasoned head coach. Assuming Mike Tomlin is not available or stays with Pittsburgh, they should probably bring in a Kevin Stefanski or Zach Taylor or some other
The problem
veteran
is those guys
head coach.
Have jobs right now. Sean was exhausted by this a week ago. A week ago, yep. Sean was predicting his exhaustion level on this conversation. We're going to have this conversation for 2 months.
Yes, the coaching search is going to last
and
forever.
And it's not going to be real until February. Maybe early January.
No, early January, you'll start to get the interviews.
Yes.
Yeah.
The speculation of the interviews, because some of them may still be playing.
Right.
So... This is a long way away.
No, and it's funny to me, forgetting about the names Kushal's bringing up, the part I laugh about is we are 1 week into the Mike Kafka era, and he's already determined not the guy.
I would think, actually, two people failed their coach interviews. Kafka, and we spent a lot of Friday talking about Jeff Hafley. Giants ran the ball down his throat.
<That's a good laughs>
Who
point.
Walked away thinking, yeah, I want that Jeff Hafley to be the head coach?
But you're not
hiring
but
that's
him.
Not even fair for Jeff
of
Hafley.
Of course it's not
just
fair.
A game.
It's a game, and you're also not hiring a defensive coordinator or hiring a head coach. You're not speaking on the radio.
I'm sorry, somebody shut off my mic. I completely agree.
Finally, Tommy did it.
I completely agree. It's not fair. I'm just laughing at the notion of we talked about that Friday. Nobody woke up today going, Jeff Hafley, that's the name we're talking about.
No, I get it. Look, I would agree with Kushal and a lot of Giant fans in saying this. Mike Kafka had a bad Sunday. He did. There's no doubt about it. We touched on the challenges earlier in the show.
Yeah.
That's a part of coaching. He made horrible decisions when it came to the challenges. I loved how aggressive he was. He was consistently aggressive, unlike Brian Daboll. I think like six.
Six fourth downs?
He went for four fourth downs, four. I should be corrected.
So three out of four.
Three out of four.
And one was a brutal play call he got lucky on.
Oh, I got you.
That wildcat? Yeah, let's snap the ball 6 yards back to a running back when you need a half inch to go.
And it barely worked, by the way. It took that extra push. But, like, it's one game. And I will stand by something I said last week, even though right now no one is going to stand on the podium and say, I want Mike Kafka to be the head coach. I still think the best case scenario is he is the head coach,
mm-hmm.
but not because of force, but because he earns it. 1 week in, he isn't earning it. I mean, he's sticking with the same belittled defensive coordinator. We saw them lose the same way they've always lost. The challenging was a disaster. So I'm not trying to tell you it should be Mike Kafka, but I stand by in the best case scenarios. We're sitting here in 7 weeks talking about, wow, Kafka did a great job. He's the guy. But he's off to a bad start. He's 0-1.
Right. You're not necessarily talking about the record.
No, I'm talking about the things that happened. Fourth quarter lead.
How you felt about him.
Yes.
It's not the record. It's how you felt about how he did. You're right about that.
I'll give him a little bit of credit for this, but I have a Met reference that doesn't make me feel better. I love that in his first week of coaching, he immediately said, hey, this Abdul Carter thing is a problem. I'm going to do something about it.
I agree with that.
But it reminds me, do you know the reference I'm going to make, Tommy, where a Met manager took over and the first thing he did was bench somebody. Do you remember this?
That sounds like something Terry Collins would do.
No. Jerry Manuel.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yep.
Replaced Willie Randolph. And the first day as manager, so kind of similar to this in that it was midseason, he benched Jose Reyes.
Mm.
And then threatened to cut him with a knife. Do you remember that part?
I definitely remember that part. We played the drop on Boomer and Carton all the time.
He had a sense. He was trying to be funny, Tiki. He was not actually threatening to stab Jose Reyes, but he did say, like, next time he does that, I'm gonna cut him with a knife. Because when he first said cut him, we're like, oh, he's going to cut
him. He's going to release him. Yeah. That probably wouldn't be prudent, putting one of your good players on waivers with a knife.
With a knife. And so.
9-1-1.
Look, the Mets ended up playing better baseball that year. They missed the playoffs, and Jerry Manuel's a footnote in Met history. He's not the long-term answer that maybe people were hoping for. So that does remind me of it. Like, first day, interim head coach, interim manager, I'm going to send a message. And it's like cool in the moment, but okay, now what? You know, is Abdul Carter actually going to get a sack this season? is he going to make impactful plays besides whatever he does tonight on Monday Night Raw? Like, that's the thing that really does need to change.
Right.
That's the key. We'll get back to your calls in a couple of minutes. 888-808-1019, the toll-free number. Plus, was yesterday an especially bad day for officiating around the NFL? I think we've just grown accustomed to the fact that there are going to be bad calls every single week in the NFL, whether it's the games we're watching or the games around the league. We had a few in the Giant game, and we were critiquing Mike Kafka's challenges. Well, he wouldn't have needed a challenge on the incompletion that was really a completion. So as much as I was annoyed at Kafka for not challenging it after he misjudged his initial challenge, you wouldn't need a challenge if the officials got it right.
Right.
But the biggest problem to me was the end of the night. Because it's a long day of football. If you watched the Miami-Washington game, we had an egregious bad call in that game. And then you're watching the 1 o'clock to the 4 o'clock.
The pass interference.
It was probably one of the worst pass interferences you'll ever see.
He might have breathed on him.
Yes.
And that caused him to disrupt his route, and the ball was not catchable anyways, but whatever.
Whatever. And it's the morning, and it's like, fine.
Right.
And then you watch 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock, and then the main event of the evening was Philadelphia against Detroit. And I admit, I think most of us are rooting for the Lions. We don't like the Philadelphia Eagles. But here's what we're rooting for after a long day of football. We're rooting for fairness, and we're rooting for entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Jalen Hurts dropped back to pass on third down, I'm like, whoa, okay, incompletion, boom, Lions are in business. And he throws an incompletion, and then we see the dreaded yellow flag. And we see maybe a more egregious
mm-hmm.
pass interference call that ended the game because that allowed the Eagles to run the clock out. And I got to thank Chris Collinsworth because he's calling the game last night, as always, on NBC with Mike Tirico. And he decided to do something that I believe every analyst now needs to do. When there's a bad call, don't hold back.
Right.
Here's Chris Collinsworth describing the end of last night's game and the egregious pass interference.
Oh, come on. Come on. That is terrible. That is an absolutely terrible call that's going to decide this football game.
We need more of that.
Right. And I think the reason that...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's particularly egregious is because it decides the football game.
Yes.
This is not dissimilar to Tom Brady when he was calling, that was a Giants game, right? When the Eagles-Giants, when he told us how bad the refereeing was over and over and over again. It's unfortunately become a necessary part of being an analyst in the NFL these days. You have to call it. You have to tell these referees that you can't get away with being mediocre at your job at best.
And I think it's got to continue because I think the public shaming of the NFL by respected voices like Tom Brady and Chris Collinsworth goes a long way.
Yeah.
And for the Eagle fan out there, I remember a couple of years ago, you guys were all pissed off about the defensive holding penalty that was called on James Bradberry. I think it was a defensive holding penalty. I don't think it was PI. And I remember saying, guys, letter of the law, it was defensive holding. I get you didn't want it in that spot. We wanted the drama of the game continuing. But letter of the law, they got it right. Last night, there is no law. Last night, the law was broken.
And also, this got less attention, but it was just as interesting. A couple weeks ago, this was the Eagles-Giant game again. We'll go back to it only because of the tush-push controversy that was created. And that they don't know how to adjudicate the tush-push. Like, they don't know the rules of the tush-push, and the Eagles are constantly offsides. They constantly jump and constantly do things that are illegal and should be called, but they're allowed to get away with it. And there's a subjectivity to forward progress, which means that Jalen Hurts is always going to get the first down, right? Well, last night, it worked against the Eagles. They got called for a false start, and it was because the right guard was moving his hand, and he was trying to touch the D-tackle, and the Lions' D-tackle. But the rule, and this is what frustrated me about this call, there is a rule that if a defensive player comes into the neutral zone and the offensive player touches him, it is defensive offsides.
Mm.
That is the rule. You see it all the time.
Right, right.
When an edge rusher, you know, jumps too quick before the snap, you'll always see the tackle try to touch him, right? You always see that. And if he touches him before he gets back, it's defensive offsides. So the Detroit D tackle had his hand in the neutral zone. He lined up inadvertently with his hand in the neutral zone. You see the Eagles guard, Taylor Steen, reach out and touch his hand, which should be defensive offsides. They called false starts.
They couldn't even get that right.
It's just, it's simple.
Yeah.
Like, even the stuff that is objective, they're screwing up with the Eagles and the tush push because they're so mind-effed on what's going to happen on this play that they don't know what to do. And so they don't do anything except for incorrectly. It's bad, man.
It's bad.
And it's becoming a conversation again. Remember, this was like a conversation 5 or so years ago where it was, man, is the league on the take? And it kind of went away. They were able to tamp it down. It feels like it's coming back again.
Yeah.
And that's bad.
Yeah, no, it's bad for business, that's for sure. Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Andrew in Westchester. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
That's good.
I'm wondering if Sleepy Joe Biden is now going to give it up to Sleepy Abdul Carter.
Well, Abdul is saying he was never sleeping. He's denying it.
He might have been like siesting in the training room. I don't know. Just take a little nap is what it is.
Here's my question for you guys. First of all, I'm so disappointed with Abdul Carter. I mean, pre-draft, I mean, all the hype. I really thought that we were getting the next Micah Parsons, and it just hasn't turned out that way. And I get he's a rookie, and it doesn't mean that that's the way it's going to go. But here's my question for you. I keep hearing everyone's sort of like 50-50 on Joe Shane. And part of it is they say that on some of – forgetting even the depth draft, some of the top draft picks that he's whiffed on. So here's the question. If there's like a consensus, you know, top 10 pick, everybody has them that way, the Evan Neals of the world. Mm-hmm. Is it really a whiff when you pick someone like that and it just doesn't pan out?
That's an interesting question because – let's think about the biggest whiffs. Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah.
Ryan Leaf. What was that offensive tackle that went very...
Robert Gallery?
Yeah, Robert Gallery. Good call, Evan.
Thank you.
I wasn't going to pull that one. That was good.
Eric Fisher.
Everybody had those guys at the top. But if you draft them and they bust... It's still on you.
It's on you, and I'll tell you why it's still on you. Because last week when having these discussions on Shane, there are Shane haters who don't want to give him credit for, like, say, Malik Nabers. Mm-hmm. Saying, wow, come on. Everybody knew he'd be good. I think we need to be fair. When a player is good, you get credit for it.
Yes.
When a player is bad, you get blamed for it. Right. No matter how they were projected, you made the decision. You made the call. So I think if we're going to be fair about this, you get the blame, you get the credit, no matter how that player was projected. But why yesterday was a bad day for Joe Shane is, if you close your eyes and ask yourself, why did the Giants lose, and you're going to name players to blame for the loss, a few of the names that are going to jump out at you are Tay Banks and Jalin Hyatt.
Right.
Those two guys are not just misses by Joe Shane, they are egregious misses by Joe Shane, and even to this day is costing the Giants games.
Yeah. Yeah, they both those guys had plays, the non-breakup of the catch on the end zone, the touchdown catch, obviously the last one at the end of the game where he was, no, that was Corey Black, but the last...
he let the second run also go through. Yeah,
right, that's what I'm thinking of, the Wilson touchdown run. He didn't even try contact. He pat him on the shoulders. It looks bad every week.
Every week? Danny is in Summit. What's up, Danny?
Hi guys, big fan of the show. I really dig your chemistry on the show.
Thank you, Danny.
But Evan, I have a bone to pick with you.
Pick away.
Okay, so as Giants fans, we are, I think, enduring one of the most wretched, insufferable, painful seasons that I can remember.
Well said.
I think that it's worse than when they were unwatchable. Because, you know, we knew what was going to happen, and you could emotionally detach, and that was that.
Yes.
Right? But this season, they play well enough 75% of the time and then lose, right? So that's what we as Giants fans are going through. And in the middle of all that, right, we have basically two little rays of hope, right? It's Scataboo and Dart. And Evan, you're out there manufacturing reasons why we should be down on Scataboo.
No.
Like, let us have him. No. Let us have our love for Scataboo. Don't step on that.
Danny, I would never want to step on your love for Cam Scataboo. I don't know why I get in trouble for this, because this is not the first time I have faced this. Mm. I'm asking a question. It's like when the Tampa Bay Rays made T-shirts about me because they thought I was accusing them of cheating. I wasn't. I was asking questions about their success.
Mm-hmm.
All I was doing earlier was saying, hey, I got news for you guys. Cam Scataboo's going to be at Monday Night Raw. Cool. We later find out all the rookies are going to be there, including Jackson Dart. And I simply asked Sean and Tommy, who have very strong opinions on a variety of subjects, do you have a problem with this? I immediately said I love it.
None.
So how am I creating a controversy? I'm asking a question.
Your basis for the question was based around lies you uttered into the microphone. You guys had a problem with Cam Scataboo. 10 minutes later, we have the audio.
No. It's that you had a problem with Aaron Judge and...
And Mendy. I asked you guys already if Cam Scataboo would appear in the guard, and you had a problem. That's what he said, and we never did that. That was debunked. So you asked a question while propping up the reason for asking the question with nothing but flat-out lies.
Don't you think that even though I got that wrong...
But isn't it your responsibility to say... Well, that's a lie.
I did. I did call him out a lie.
And first of all, it wasn't a lie. It was getting something wrong, which we very promptly played the audio of.
Okay. Sounds like a Fox News host.
Yeah, but I quickly corrected it. Once we had the audio, I always say, provide the audio. I'll play it one way or the other. And we played the audio that showed Sean and Tommy would have no issue with Scataboo returning to the Garden even after his injury. But would you, and this is where I want to win this argument. And I'm not even going to ask you guys the question. I'm going to ask Tiki the question. Would you not agree that there are times where Tommy and Sean have crazy opinions?
Yes.
Okay. That rests my case. Then if
because if
they're known for having crazy opinions, it's my job to ask them, what do you think of this?
You knew the answer.
I didn't know the answer.
You ask them how you felt about them in Madison Square Garden.
That was for a Knicks game. I didn't know how they'd feel about Raw.
Evan, now I'm pissed off. Okay, because you have painted me and Tommy subtly, like we're two carnies over here that we always have the crazy. You don't have crazy opinions?
Sean, just because you asked Tiki the question. So
I know.
You have a problem with someone, problem with Tiki.
No.
Again, I asked the question. I'm getting in trouble.
I have a problem with the question because that alludes the audience to, look at these two idiots. They have the crazy opinion. When do you... You don't think you have crazy opinions?
This isn't about me.
But it's showing that universally on the show, sometimes all of us have opinions that can
we're
be deemed
crazy. We're the woman with the mustache at the carnival, basically.
Right. All I know is I asked Tiki if you guys have crazy opinions. He said yes, which makes it fair that I asked
the
question.
But we always have backing for it. Now, he laughed at Carlos Mendoza. That was to laugh at the Met fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I crush Aaron Judge because I think if you're Aaron Judge, you shouldn't be at a Knick game. With
time out. So here's what I've gotten. When you want to make fun of the other team in town, it works.
Yes.
When it's
Scat
your team
is hurt.
When it's your team and your player,
but he's hurt.
No problem with
but
it.
But he's hurt, and he's free to do whatever he wants.
Right.
No, I'm kind of with Tommy and Sean on this.
Well, you're actually with me because I was the first person to say, I love the fact that Cam's at Raw. Mm. I love it.
No, you didn't. You asked them if they had a problem.
You said
you loved it after the fact.
I don't know.
Their opinion, and then you got it.
If
after
you
the fact.
Check the tape, I think I offered my opinion first on this.
Let's go to the videotape.
What we learned is that, and I appreciate you admitting it, Tommy. They have their opinions based on their fandoms.
That's exactly what you said. No, I said when we give our crazy opinions, like you said, we back it up with why we are saying it.
Right, because of your fandom.
Tommy wanted
to knock Aaron Judge. He wanted to knock Carlos Mendoza. Now that we're talking about Giants, it's all good.
Tommy, there's a very easy solution going forward. Just before you state any opinion, just utter the words, as an IBO or as an IFO, because that totally means you're taking your fandom out of it. So we're just going to do that from now on.
So a disclaimer before I say stuff.
Yep. That is the hard and set rule from now on.
Yep.
You must add a disclaimer.
Here's the real question. What would we all think if Aaron Glenn showed up at Raw tonight?
What the hell are you doing? Don't you have a game to prepare for? You don't have a bye week?
I got the guy who should show up at Raw tonight. Forget the giant rookies. Forget Aaron Glenn. Brian Daboll.
I like that.
That would be it.
No, Rangers. You got to go to the Rangers.
Yeah, I think he's done with the Rangers now. I think that's over.
They were good when he was there.
Yeah, but the love affair is over. He's going to be working in a different state soon. Trust me, he's done.
Winning a Super Bowl, something like that.
Oh, yeah. Eagles OC.
Let's go. That could happen.
I mean, he would be better than Petula.
Yeah. Let's go to Dom in New Rochelle. What's up, Dom?
Hey, what's up, guys?
All's good.
This
This defense is so disappointing. It's like they can't stand any success. The minute they get the lead, they just fold. They never finish. Abdul Carter, third pick overall in the draft. We're not asking you to be Lawrence Taylor. We're not asking you to be Reggie White. But can you get home? I don't care how many hurries, if you lead the NFL in hurries on quarterback, you got to finish and make a play. It's unacceptable for him to have one tackle in the game.
Yeah. Well,
it's just unacceptable.
Again, he's a rookie. That's the only thing I can keep coming back to. I'm not defending him because someone called early and said stop defending him. I'm not defending him. I'm just explaining to you why this is the way it is.
I think Sean made the most salient point today about this, which is why I think everyone's got to hold their brakes on using the B word, which is bust.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Thomas showed us in year one that you could have a bad rookie year. Mm-hmm. You could even have a rookie year that involves being punished for being late. I think we could all agree Abdul Carter has not had the rookie season any of us expected. But I don't love this quickly thinking that guy is just the bust.
Yeah.
This is his chance now to learn. This is his chance to respond. This is his chance to prove all of what we saw so far this year is not true and not really who he's going to be. Right. I think if this happens again next year, all bets are off. Right. That's when we start using that word we don't want to use.
I agree. I also want to see him in another defensive system next year with a real defensive coordinator before I'm labeling him a bust.
I get you.
I agree with that.
Let's go to Angelo in Staten Island. Hey, Angelo.
Do you guys agree that with everything we were talking about earlier with the draft order, that eventually the NFL has to go to some form of a draft lottery?
Yes.
Listen, it sucks that every year after like week seven, I'm rooting for the Jets to lose. And Evan, you know as well as I do, the last time the Jets won a Super Bowl was on my birthday. Not my birthday 10 years ago, not my birthday 20 years ago, my birthday 56 years ago when I was actually born. That's the last time.
Oh,
thank
wow.
you, guys. Let me know what you think about the draft lottery. Thank
that's
you.
Awesome, man.
Yeah,
by the way, Tommy, did you come up with an alternative to tanking?
Not yet.
Over the weekend.
Still working on that.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean, like, alternative to tanking?
Did you, oh, so you don't... Oh, I got it. You don't listen to WFM.
I did not listen this weekend.
You don't listen to Tommy on the weekend.
I did not listen to him this weekend.
I listen to Tommy on the weekend.
Thank you, T.
Because he's my guy. Like my mother-in-law and father-in-law back home, and, you know, I was listening to Tommy on the...
I apologize.
My mother-in-law really likes you.
Tell her I said thanks.
Yeah, I will.
I was going to listen, but I had my kids in the car. And Tommy right, can sometimes be very randy with the words.
We don't want to hear your excuse.
I can be randy with the words?
You sometimes say offensive words.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Thank you, Tiki.
That's good.
But they're good.
Why we like it.
But they're good for the radio.
But that's why we like it.
Yeah. I didn't say it was bad for the radio. I said it wasn't good for my five-year-old to start repeating. Why did Tommy say this?
Evan, Johnny told him that the other day at lunch. So it's all good. They're going to hear it in school, is my point.
Oh, that's true.
That is true. So Tommy had a thing going. It was most of the show where he was looking for an alternative to the word tanking.
Oh, so a word tanking.
Word
because
or
when,
phrase.
Because when somebody says tanking, I get pissed off.
I know you do.
You even are against it.
I don't like it.
Most of us are against tanking. But Tommy's right. It's just the word. Like, the word makes it seem like we're going to suck on purpose.
Hold that a second.
He was trying to. I'm just asking if he came up with it.
No, you're full of crap. I got to call you out.
It was an interesting conversation.
He could call it whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. You are going to come on the radio pissed off.
Probably.
Don't tell me what the wording.
All I was asking was if he found an alternative to the word.
Did you find an alternative?
Not yet, but we're on a crusade to find a word to soften it. You know, a phrase.
Well, you did a whole show. You didn't come up with the answer.
Nah, I'm looking for a 10. There are a bunch of sevens.
The best what was the best one you heard?
Honestly, and I'll get a note from Bob Iger if we use it, falling with style, which is not, you know what I mean, instead of flying. I mean, I can't use that. A couple people came up with stuff like
Toy Story, by the way.
Correct. There was losing was in the word. I don't know, building towards our draft. Like, there was nothing great yet, but that's why we're working on
it. Yeah, Tommy called them word salads.
Yes.
I do think, because I remember the Republicans did this great in the early 2000s. They came up with a bill. It was called the Patriots Act. The Patriot Act. Yes. Remember the Patriot Act?
Of course.
It was very controversial.
Of course.
But because it had such
a... basically spy on you.
Yes.
Illegally.
In the name of patriotism. Yes. And so what I always was enamored by, I was like, my God, that
you're not doing anything wrong. You don't have anything to hide.
It was brilliant marketing. It was like, how could you be against the Patriot Act? It was like the other thing my president came up with, my president, George, you know, I was giving him the advice, No Child Left Behind. Mm. Who could be against No Child Left Behind?
So then I think I just got it. I think the easiest thing to do when talking about this, not calling it tanking, say you're investing in your future.
That was one that came up, yeah. Strategic positioning, yeah. Draft optimizing.
Yeah. But they're too long.
Future focused. Yeah.
It's great terms, and I think it will affect a great amount of people. The problem is Tiki's full of crap. It won't affect him. Because at the end of the day, and here's the test, and it's funny you say this because I was thinking about it this morning as you were talking about last night's game. Or yesterday afternoon's game. You're very angry about the Giant loss. Mm-hmm. I can hear it in your voice. I don't know yet about Tommy and Sean. I don't know yet about Giant fans. Because I wonder, at 2-9, are you even angry anymore? Were you walking away from that game saying, whatever. Kafka ain't the coach. I want a better draft pick. I'm not even mad anymore.
But so, you're right and you're wrong. I'm not angry at the loss. I'm angry at the individuals.
But you're angry with the individuals that contributed to said loss.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
But it's not the loss per se.
But I got to push back on this. If they won the game despite the individual efforts that you were pissed at, you would not be as angry today.
I would laud the individual or individuals that contributed to the win. I'd still be mad at Tay Banks or whoever else, Jalen Hyatt. But I would say, you know what? Jameis did a heck of a job with 12 seconds left to make that touchdown happen. You know what I mean?
But it would soften how you feel about everything else.
Of course.
Which shows you it's still about the winning.
It's always about winning.
That's my point.
That's the only thing I care about.
And that's why you can label it whatever you want. It's still about winning and losing. But in general, were Giant fans even... Were you angry at yesterday's loss, Tommy?
I wasn't, because we are draft harvesting as a franchise right now. We're positioning ourselves for a brighter future.
That's actually not bad.
That's my favorite one.
And look at what... he's smiling. What if I had just said, boy, that loss was great because we're tanking for a receiver? He would have screamed at me.
Exactly. Were you angry after the loss?
You're not going to believe this. I think it makes... I was the most angry than I was at any other loss this year after the game.
Why? Because you wanted... Because of its... A new situation, a new head coach, interim-based, whatever. It feels like things are going to change because the head coach changed.
Didn't? I think that's part of it, but I think it's also when you start watching games past 2-8, past a coach firing, you're investing time that doesn't need to be invested. Mm. Like, the other times you lose games, it's just like, all right, I live with it. I invested 3 hours of my life because I have to, and I'm now mad that I have to invest this time. And if I'm going to invest this time and I still see the same crap, like the same crappy players that shouldn't be on the roster playing for no reason, it bothers me because it feels like I'm making an investment that the team is not making. Mm.
So you will continue to get mad no matter how many losses pile up?
Yes, and I will continue to get mad when it's the same players that shouldn't be on the roster who can easily be cut making those mistakes. Yes.
The most entertaining part of yesterday's Giants game was what Jay Glazer said before the Giants game concerning specific names that they may be targeting.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.